person.
And once I picked one, everything else fell into place and the information continued with mm-hmm. that one person.
Now, this is a similar concept. If you're doing a gallery session and you get a name, Barbara, okay, who had somebody who died? His name is Barbara. Well, you know, you're going to get 50 hands coming up there. Pick one. As soon as you focus on one, reality, energy, follows attention. Remember, we talked about that? The instant you focus on one, all the others disappear. The rest of the information coming through will be that one. But the initial information could fit, you know, five or six different people very often.
That fits right into the what to the bleep and pick one of the realities. Once you pick the reality, everything filters through it.
Exactly.
John, was that one channel or two channels? Did you have to choose a channel?
No, I had to choose one of two people that were coming through on the same channel.
One channel. Christiana, the way it works is that the more you work yourself to create a channel, the more energy you learn to be able to bring in. Mm-hmm. The more you practice, the stronger your channel becomes. And you can eventually have a person who would be capable of opening a channel that could fill this entire room. The stronger the channel is, the more spirit entities can come through on that channel. So it's almost like you could see, you know, like 80 people floating in one channel.
Like Lisa, I was working with overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now,
so
this is also
which.
Why when we're doing a group session like this, it happens anytime you do a gallery type session or platform work, you could be focusing on your one person, but there are 50 other people in that channel waiting to come through. Someone else in the room could very well be picking up on information from one of those other people. It's one of the reasons why we have to work to not overread each other, because if I start giving you the information I'm getting, it's often that it's not about the person you're getting. It's one of the others in that channel.
Also, the person that's overreading, because they're working with a different channel and a different energy, they are going to draw different entities for the person that the original reader is working for and further complicate with additional people. So, for example, who you would read for, if you read for Carl and you're doing your reading, and based on the fact of how you read, how you tune in, and the kinds of people and symbolism you have, you're going to draw like five people, right? Now here I am, I'm sitting here, I'm watching you, I'm overreading you, and I'm just kind of, I'm looking at Carl and saying, okay, I'm getting this person, and this person, and this person. Now based on the way I read, and the symbolism that I use, we may not only be dealing with your five people, but I may have added three more, because now they have an avenue through me. Now the whole thing turns into a mush because it's too many people.
Yeah.
Also recognize that in the process of teaching this, the way John and I started out is that we would open our channel, which together is a pretty strong channel, because you know how to merge that channel into one. And through resonance, all of you got pulled into that channel and learned what it felt like to open a channel. But now it's reversed. And when you're standing in the middle and you're opening your channel, John and I are not opening our own individual channel. We're strengthening, using our energy to strengthen yours.
Mm-hmm.
If we opened our channel and continued to pull you into it, we would be preventing you from learning how to be a medium on your own.
You couldn't have opened the channel on your own because you'd feel ours and expect it to be that way when you opened your own.
Mm-hmm.
So is that like when someone's doing a reading, I'm often hearing or seeing things, some of what they say, some is totally...
exactly what it is, Carl.
Is going...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, as sitting here, I'm in the other mouth I have anyway, I want to say something. I was like,
and you can't.
And, you know, but I know I got to, you know, but I hear it, and I hear it, and it's like things are coming to me. It's like...
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't
remember,
go to
it's
turn.
All energy. Mm-hmm. I went through much the same thing you're talking about. Now, let me share some of my experiences. There was a time when I was in a gallery session as a viewer, as a sitter, and had a student next to me who was not only trying to ride the channel of the medium doing the session, but was trying to control the channel, to control what he said. Okay? Obviously, that person didn't graduate our classes and is no longer a student, okay? But in the middle of what she was doing, remember she was sitting next to me, I could feel her channel, because he was working with a person she wanted to feed specific information to, I could feel her channel coming down, competing with his, I could feel her third eye linking into him, trying to push the information into his channel. And guess what I did?
So I did it myself
and
a lot.
And she got...
Yeah, just go across the third eye and cut the channel.
There are people like this. Yeah. And this is one of the reasons we screen students in our classes. That's obviously a wrong thing to do. Okay? But as soon as I did this, she got a whiplash. She had a horrible headache because she was pushing such pressure to affect this gentleman's channel, to affect what he was saying, that when it got cut, you actually watched her head jerk back. And I said, you're not to do that ever to anyone again.
And all you need to do is just pass your hand in front of the third eye. It's like putting a mirror in front of it.
It breaks the energy. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, of course, there was another time where I was the one who got zapped because I was watching one of our mediums at work who was very proprietary. And I was like you, on the edge of my seat, ooh, 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 ooh. And he got around to the person right next to me, so I was close enough to that channel to literally be seeing everything that he was seeing. And he got his information, but he got to an impasse. And I had the next bit of information. And I felt very strongly because I knew it was the next thing. I was right in there with him, which is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to ride that channel.
Yeah, you teach that, but it's really hard because...
You realize it's very possible that the reason he couldn't get the next bit of information is because I was holding on to it.
Yeah.
Do you see? So, of course, I blurted it out. Yeah. And he looked from her to me, and instead of doing the break, he used my link to his channel to shoot a beam of energy into me. Bam!
He backed it up.
Right into my head. It's called a psychic slap.
He basically pushed the energy back where it came from.
Right. And let me tell you, I had a headache for about 2 days. Okay? And I didn't fault him for it. Because that was right in
the
channel.
That's not where she belonged.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we've been very gentle with you folks.
Till P7.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but do you find that being something as we're learning that is just kind of flows there and we didn't really, it's not like we deliberately tried to, but you're so into watching and...
Well, for the most part, our description for you and your ability to feel it has been enough that you folks have been doing a very good job at maintaining your own channel, not interfering with somebody else's. Mm-hmm. There's a, you know, you people all have
and
this
as long
wonderful
as you
sense of
do it as an observer, like you're watching television,
mm-hmm.
and you don't change the channel, adjust the picture or nothing, just watch
mm-hmm.
it go by. There's nothing
okay.
wrong with that,
mm-hmm.
because you're not feeding it energy, you're not taking energy, you're just observing what's there. And that's fine. I mean, with all of you guys, at some instance when you're working, I'm going to be watching what you're doing. It's like I'm standing inside your channel and I'm like making like I'm invisible. Just pay attention to where you're at and what you're doing, seeing what you're doing. Now, I may not see it the same way that you do, but at least I'm keeping a handle of where you are, but I'm not trying to push you towards something or away from something unless I feel that you're in a position where you're not asking yourself questions, you're not moving yourself, or you're stuck. It's then that I'll come out and say, well, what about the other man that's with him?
Mm-hmm.
And once you hook in again to the movement of the energy, I back off and you just go with it.
And see, John isn't riding the channel in a sense to contribute or control. He's merely observing.
And sometimes you need a little push start. You get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't purposely grab that next bit of information, did you?
At that point, absolutely.
You did.
The instant I'm on the edge of my seat saying, oh, you gotta say,
Okay.
I grab it.
This is like
you,
a couple
you
years ago.
You feel that intensity, you've been great, you're grabbing it.
Yeah, I mean, because you do kind of like you said, but
yes.
I mean, it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it was, at first for you, it wasn't you were deliberately trying to grab his channel, but
that's
you
right.
got so
and
into it.
Now that
it,
you're there.
And
right.
you're there, so now it's like, oh, you know.
That's why, you know, as a teacher, we'll often observe the information that's coming through. And particularly with John, you'll watch him observe so that he can ask you that next question to help
yeah.
to guide you to get that piece of information. But he's not interfering at all with what's coming through.
Riding the channel, if I could compare it to a physical circumstance,
yeah.
Suppose you're in a deep conversation with somebody, and you're locked together, and you're conversing and very intense with what you're doing, and someone steps up to you, steps in your space, and watches the information go back and forth while they're in your space. Don't you feel that? Doesn't it temper how you say what you're going to say until you address that person? Riding someone's channel is very much the same thing. The other person is in your space. It's like a stone in the road. You can't get around because that stone now is part of the energy that you've opened up, and it's using the energy, not making it available to you.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before we progress a little bit further, let me ask, what in the practice reading that you've been doing on your own so far, what are some of the symbols that you've been coming up with? Because in sharing with the group, you can be adding them to the group.
Especially ones that are different from your own.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the ones that the guys on the other side are giving you in terms of what to use.
Remember, your symbols will come from your own arsenal of information, from your subconscious,
dream
which
states.
Will include every single bit of information your mind has ever recorded. All of that can be used as a symbol by your guide, your higher self, and that person from the other side. And the same thing is true of the person who's sitting for you or with you. Anything in their mind or unconscious mind becomes a symbol. And now you also have all of the experience of the person who's deceased that could be a symbol language. And as you perform and do your readings, you're going to get more and more of these symbols. And there's nothing wrong if you get a good symbol from somebody who's deceased and it clicks with you. There's nothing wrong with adding that to your own arsenal of symbols. I told you about my suitcases, yes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The original suitcase came from somebody who was dead. That wasn't my symbol. That was a deceased person giving me that as a symbol. I said, hey, this is a good one, thank you. And I've learned other symbols that way. So what are some of the symbols that you've come up with?
The one that I say, you know, the one reading I did, I had the plaque kind of slate, tablet-looking thing. And when I did the reading last weekend, I see things as kind of a framed tablet, or like the stained glass piece I got was more of a tablet kind of thing. It's kind of to the side on the wall. It's this side of me is always seeing the square.
Okay, and what does it mean?
Well, it always gives me a letter or a number or a zero, and
okay,
that always seems to connect. Like I seen a W in my reading.
Mm-hmm.
As I don't know what this is.
Okay,
but
so that's essentially as if you have your own little blackboard there.
And that's a sketch.
An etch-a-sketch with an invitation to the spirit on the other side to inscribe their name or their initial. Good
the
idea.
The W meant, and it was the one thing that hit straight on with her,
because
I seen it as stained glass pieces.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was, you know, it's like, you know, whether it's a rough
mm-hmm.
circle or a stained glass piece, but it's always kind of
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm seeing, it looks like stained glass to me, is red, kind of brick-looking stained glass, and a W. I don't know what this means, but
mm-hmm.
this is what they showed me. And when I opened, because I kept my eyes closed, because I didn't, trying
mm-hmm.
not to connect. When I opened my eyes to look at her, she just, big tears. And she said that was her mother's partner had a shop. And she said it was an art shop. She had a lot of stained glass pieces.
So you see a double symbol. W was obviously important.
Yeah,
but
this
the stained
W
glass
piece,
was the art.
She said, if you go to her house and open her front door, on her wall, she said, I never understood what the W meant. She had a really big stained glass piece, and it had a red W in the piece.
Interesting.
And she said,
mm-hmm.
as soon as you said the red stained glass W, that was the one thing that stood out for me always at her house. What is wonder what the W, you know?
So, but thanks for sharing. We've got a couple of things here. First of all, that stained glass piece was a perfect symbol from the person on the other side because it told about the art shop. It was a piece of artwork. But it was also an actual piece of artwork that was in the home. You can't get more specific in spirit identification than identifying something that's that unique that belonged to that individual. But indirectly, they also gave you a new piece of a new symbol that you will be able to use. Because if, as I said, if you use that, you know, etch-a-sketch type of idea, here, write your initial on this.
So you're going to run your medium sessions much like What's My Line and have your mystery guest sign in.
Yeah. And I'm kind of getting the but it comes in different things. Like before it would flip. One side was one way, the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it was the actual, but it just kept the W there.
Mm-hmm.
Stained glass,
mm-hmm.
It was just boom, boom.
And remember, when you get into using this as an identifier, don't forget to always look at what the object is, because obviously the object is going to be something that's also relative to the person who died. So that's a second symbol that's used as an identifier. You see? So don't, this is why we always say, don't, you know, give your symbol exactly as you see it. Then do your interpretation. Do both. Okay, did anybody else have one they want to share?
I usually, when I'm not in here for whatever reason, doing it at home, I get a lot of family members who have passed, and I will describe that family member, and that'll be the description of the person for them. Also, on more than one occasion, I will get a gentleman reading a newspaper. Usually that man is very well read, very prominent. One red rose to me, that's something my father has given me since he's passed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Just things that reoccur like that.
I'd like to add something to this too, which is, I don't know if you realize it, but it can be very, very powerful and very important. If you're reading a client and all of a sudden one of your own friends or relatives pops in, that is, don't dismiss it, because that person that pops in, the characteristics of that person or something about
maybe
them is very powerfully mm-hmm. similar to the person you're attempting to get the information
mm-hmm.
from. Maybe the name, it may be the character, it may be the looks, it may be the trade that they did, you don't know. But don't dismiss someone from your own past, because your unconscious is going to use the best example they can use to represent the person that you're trying to bring through.
Or even the nature of the relationship.
Right.
Maybe you're trying to figure out the nature of the relationship and it's a second cousin, and you can't figure out how to do that. So a picture of your second cousin pops into your head.
Mm-hmm. Now you have a vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very simple, isn't it?
I was thinking about reading that you did the other time, when first time I came here, and you were doing a reading to me.
Right.
And you got this older lady, and I think I figured I was my grandmother, but I wasn't sure. And you say, you know, I'm getting this name, and he says, Lorena. Remember that name?
Yes.
He said, Lorena. Well, Lorena, I know who Lorena was, right? It was a lady who was related very much to my mother-in-law, or was Lorena's mom who passed, you know?
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, God, I mean, it was so clear. And you just, that was the click for me to say, okay, it's either my grandmother or this lady who passed, you know, this lady, Lorena's mom who passed, were just coming through my grandmother. So you just made the whole thing much easier, but you just stated the name. And you stated
right.
the name the way the girl is called. Her name was Lorena.
Uh-huh.
Corona. It was very interesting.
Mm.
Because they're going to give you the symbols wherever they can grab them. No matter how ridiculous it may seem. Put it out.
Pardon?
Put it out. Because you said you were thinking of things that
right.
that you thought you might, should have said, but didn't. And, I mean, in the group W bench, I like that. Anybody who knows about Arlo Guthrie, sorry. Alice's restaurant. At any rate, I mean, he put something out, the W. What, suppose you got a big red W. It might have flashed and gone. You might have thought nothing of it. But if you were reading the same client he was reading, it would have meant all the difference in the world for confirmation.
Yeah, I think, you know, after you say the tailor, I think there was at one point that I had a needle thread.
Uh-huh.
Which would have been, you know.
Uh-huh.
That would have been perfect description.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Now, let me ask you, though, when we're reading, because I've read both of you.
Right.
Can you see in that channel and see your relative when I'm doing this?
I don't do what John does. If you're reading,
I can.
Yeah, if you're reading me, I am going to make an absolute, total blob of myself, and I'm not helping at all.
Okay, because I want to make sure
which
I'm doing this on my own.
Which means that I'm not going to visualize my relative, because in seeing my relative, I'm going to feed you that information.
Right.
So no, I wasn't helping.
Okay.
Now, what happens with me is, as you say it, the picture pops in front of my mind.
Right. Okay.
So it happens a split second after you tune in.
I want to make sure I wasn't getting anything from you.
No, you weren't. Yeah. You were the one who generated it. I'm the one who, a split second later, saw it.
Right.
It's like I'm sitting here, I'm watching a film, and in the same way you dial to a radio station, you get like a 3 second delay. It's like I got the same thing with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when I said that I saw a hat, I specifically saw a derby hat.
Yes.
Should you say I'm seeing a derby hat?
If you, that's what you saw, and
yes.
If that's the way you think of it as,
mm-hmm.
yes, because
okay.
they're reaching into your mind,
okay.
and they know you'll call it a derby hat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
And sometimes you'll call it a derby hat, never having seen a derby hat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where the word
just
came
know
from.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's how mediumship works. You can know things through mediumship that you don't know, because it's not you. Who is passing along the information is the person who died. Okay, why don't we take a little tiny break here so that we can get the camera into position and complete what we did yesterday so that you folks can finish your platform work. Okay.
Do we have to open something?
Yes, we do. We have to do all of our stuff. Very good for
yes,
you.
Yes, we do.
Because I'm struggling as it is.
Yeah.
Help
with the energy in here today, I sincerely doubt you would be able to open that channel, even by accident.
Okay,
so let's do it.
Now, I don't think we, in doing this, I don't think we need this on camera again, do we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unless you want to do it without the camera, and then when we come back on, say we have just protected. But you want to say that because the people on camera, you don't want to think that they can get away without doing
well,
it.
Well, right. What we're going to say then is we're going to do the same protection we did yesterday before we did our
okay.
on platform work. Okay, that'll be the yod hey vod hey and calling in the directions.
Okay, so
okay?
Let's do it.
Well,
all
right. We can just say that after we're done.
Yeah. Okay. So we've done our yod hey and our vod heys. It's probably a good idea because you can't get enough. Too much
actually,
meditation.
I don't think we even need to.
No.
It's
going to
be the same as yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you, when he's putting the tape together, he'll just put yesterday's to this. It'll go right up against it.
All right. So we'll wait on that. We'll just do our meditation off camera and off tape. Okay. Righty. We've done all we needed to do in protections.
Right.
Our meditation. Higher self.
Okay, we're on. Now remember, before we do this, we protect our space. We do our
yod hey vod heys
to raise the energy. We do our higher self meditation and invoking our guides, and we're ready to run. So Christy, I think we elected you. Yes. We have done all those protections and preparations already off camera.
My goal here is to try to see them standing next to the chair, which is great, as opposed to the picture.
So you're just programming yourself for that to happen.
I'm doing a little experiment.
Good. Okay, you're facing Karen.
Trying to visualize Karen, see her sitting there and see someone standing. Or I believe I have a taller gentleman
mm-hmm.
here. I don't know if that's, so I just know who he is.
That's fine. Now is he to her left or right, or are you told which part of the family?
Where is he standing?
Standing moment. behind.
Directly behind her?
Above, no, above her left shoulder, this side shoulder.
And left to you is? Female or male?
This is male.
Okay.
I wish I just knew.
So it's
a
male.
Gentleman on her father's side.
Okay.
Quite tall.
Are you stepping back at all, or are you looking at the same level? Or did they tell you something about that?
It seems to me this is an uncle.
Okay.
So if you were visualizing it in steps, you would be one step back, one step to the side.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I see jeans. Black sooty boots, dust covered. Tucked in t-shirt, but maybe just kind of like right here, not really, like a little sloppy. Button down shirt, but it's not buttoned, it's kind of over. Sort of farmhand, but maybe not the farmhand, maybe owns the farm or works real hard in the dust.
Mustache?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hat. Cap. Like cloth, but not stylish.
Okay. Sort of like a ball cap, but not stylish.
Not the shape, sort of.
Okay.
Curly
hair.
A little bit longer around the cap.
What color?
Sandy brown.
Mm-hmm. Eyes. Hazel, okay.
That was different. That came as a picture.
Okay.
Leaning towards her.
Alright.
Over her.
What'd you say is about his body weight or width or build?
I'd say he's probably thinner than he should be. It's just he works hard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he drinks beer and smokes and sort of careworn, weathered.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he knows.
Is he holding anything?
No, he's holding on a chair.
Mm-hmm. Her chair?
Yes, her chair.
Okay, it's fine.
This worked so good last time with Michelle. I really want to take...
Just do this one for what it is.
Okay, I need to move forward, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm her father's brother.
Father's brother, okay.
Name or initial?
Whatever pops in. I don't care if it's Alice.
Herb,
okay. Now that could be a name of what he grows, or who knows?
That's true.
Right. What's his message?
She was a much loved and anticipated child into the family.
Mm-hmm.
And in case she doesn't know that. Because maybe she that message did not come along through her life. Before she was born, she was welcomed with open arms and very perfect.
Is there anything else he needs to say?
How did he pass?
No, not from anything.
Okay. Do you find anything with any part of your body? Is your attention drawn to any part of your body? You may not feel anything, but your attention may be somewhere. Becoming aware of a part of your body all of a sudden.
No.
Okay. Anything in parting?
There's a kiss sent to the chief.
Is there anybody else there with him?
Mm-mm.
Was there at one time?
Shorter woman. She's very vague to me, though.
Hair
in a bun.
Under
a kerchief.
Okay. But she's gone right now, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She just kind of came in and out.
Right.
Okay, I think I'm done.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Feedback.
Well, my father didn't have a brother. The physical description wasn't really on, except for he said he was very weathered and thin, yeah. Right?
From hard work.
Yeah. Well, and he grew up on a farm. So,
okay.
I mean, not later in his life, but that might have been depicted his earlier life.
Mm-hmm.
He had a crew cut ever since I knew him, so I don't know about
mm-hmm.
curly hair.
Yeah.
But he was a major alcoholic. So he mentioned, but he drank mostly booze, you know.
Okay.
He probably drank beer at some time too, but it was, you know. And
you
small.
May have been seeing him when he was younger. You
yeah.
I saw him back then.
Right.
Home.
So what I knew of him, yeah, he
mm-hmm.
drank, you know, he always had the bottles everywhere, you know, in the car and hidden all over the house. And
oh, geez.
Mess.
Mustache?
Right. No, not that I ever knew. Yeah, he might have at one time. Now the lady with the bun, I don't know about the kerchief, but the bun could have been his mother, my grandmother.
Who, the reason that I was treating that the way I did, because a lot of times you might not be able to make contact with the spirit, but who's to say that she's not going to empathize to the spirit and his memory of his mother,
right?
Who may have been there at one time and moved on to some other place.
Mm-hmm. Also, with Christie's back to the camera, people viewing this probably couldn't have seen it, but from a side view where I was seeing her, as soon as she focused on the grandmother, her hands came to her stomach and her body curled in. It was the posture of an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So that was interesting that your posture actually changed. Were you still at that point seeing the older woman out here, or were
mm-hmm.
you feeling her?
I was seeing her, but she was almost transparent, so I was reaching to try and
mm-hmm.
grasp.
And so what was happening is your body was mirroring, okay?
Yeah.
And that's interesting. That does sometimes happen, and when that happens, it's not taking the spirit on. She wasn't in you, but what you were doing in mirroring the posture, you were
tuning in.
You were tuning
that's
in,
true.
And
that's
that was
exactly what
it
happened.
Was informational.
Yeah.
It was another symbol, okay? So your physical body. If you feel a twitch or a pain or a need to touch something or point to something or alter your posture,
mm-hmm.
that's more information.
Well,
I also noticed a few times that she went like this.
Mm-hmm.
And probably to mirror somebody like, you know, very religious or something.
Maybe the older lady was.
I'm also just trying not to have any, because now I can feel from my hands all the way up my arm, just trying to totally not get cheated at all.
Well, you got the name Herb, but I thought to myself, if she gets this name, because he had a very unusual name, his name was Esther Varian, but they called him Slats his whole life.
Oh, boy.
So
that
you
would have been
a
triumph.
A triumph. Now, what did they grow on the farm?
I really don't know. I mean, that was when they were little, I think. They
now, was there, this is reaching, but was there a Herb in that family anywhere?
I'll have to see.
see if I can find out from someone.
Because that's just like with Lisa yesterday, extraneous people or information can come
mm-hmm.
through. Or do you have a herb in your life right now that you need maybe to know something about?
No, but my parents had some good friends. Herb was one of the men.
Well,
I can't think of the woman's name.
When he said I'm her father's brother.
Well, this was not anyone close
okay.
to us. It was just our member, these acquaintance friends of my parents. But there was
did this Estivario know Herb?
I don't think so. I think these were friends of my mother's.
All right. Now, who in the family or in this circle that she's connecting to talk with their hands this way?
I wouldn't remember that.
Okay. Just kind of put in the back and see if you remember.
Yeah, because these are all little bits
mannerisms.
Of the language, the mannerisms. Yeah. I recall one of my first mediumship sessions that was an unexpected one with a client who had come in for a future reading whose husband had died. And I'm in the middle of the reading and I'm channeling her husband without realizing it, and I never point my finger, it's rude.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pointing my finger like this and giving her orders in the reading, and caught myself and said, "My God, did your husband do that?" And she said, "Every Saturday he was a rabbi, and that was what he did to
us." Oh.
Okay.
And his name was Herb. No.
But the thing is that the giveaway to me was actually the body posture, because that's not something I would ever normally do. So pay attention to what you know, if you're doing this with your hands, you don't normally do it, ask your client, who do you know? Who's on the other side that did this motion?
By the way,
things like that are real major giveaways.
This is a long shot. Do you have anybody in your heritage that's a herb that's passed?
See, I don't know a lot about my heritage, because like Sandy, my family wrote off half the family.
Okay. The reason I ask is because you do have somebody in your heritage.
Yeah.
That may be one of your guides' way of saying, "I'm here, I'm helping."
Okay.
Anyway, we have a lot of possibilities, and you get homework. See if you can't figure out who Herb was. Okay? Or as John pointed out, during the session, at that time in his life, he might have just been growing herbs.
Or maybe he wasn't the alcoholic, he was into herb.
I thought herb when she said herb. could this be that maybe she should try to do a little homework to see if there's a herb in her family that maybe...
A farmer.
A farmer or something that would have...
That would
connected.
Have paralleled. That's
yeah.
possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karen already went yesterday. So, Christy, pick your next person to come up.
Pick
your victim. Who else went yesterday?
Karen.
Lisa.
Karen,
Lisa. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was it?
Right.
Michelle. She's my homie.
Y'all homie. Okay.
Sometimes I'm a gangster.
Okay, fine.
Okay, Michelle's up. I'm going to do the spinny thing. Step back. One step to the right. And is right male or female? Okay. And another step back. Okay, so we have a grandparent female.
Actually, we have a grandparent's brother or sister female.
That makes sense.
This character in this woman, she's like, she's got the spinal curvature, you know, the hunchback and the cane. There's like, it's almost like a cartoon character. She's got the little round glasses, the wire rimmed bun way high on her head. Hair's white, really puckered around her mouth. She's got false teeth. big shoes, big black clunky shoes. She's kind of like, I don't want to say doddery, but you know, real unstable, sort of. Dress is blue and white with stripes. And a big white collar with like crochet or something, some detail on the collar, buttons.
What color are eyes?
Really washed out, watery blue.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of laughing at the way I'm describing her. I can't get a message from her, but she just feels really withered.
Do you got the name or an initial?
L, like a Loretta.
Mm-hmm.
Or saying hello to Elisa?
It's definitely an L.
Okay. Do you pick up a method of death or anything she...
That's what I was trying to get, and it's just this, like... I just feel it in her bones, like she's just
withered away, maybe? Yeah. It could be natural causes.
There's a man with her. He looks really tall and erect next to her. I don't know if he's really that tall or if he just looks tall because she's so
same generation,
punished.
Younger, older?
He's younger. But I don't think he's family to her. I don't feel a family connection with him. He's like he's a separate. He's here on his own.
Huh.
What's the connection?
I want to say he's a guide.
For the old lady or for Lisa? Or both?
For Lisa, I think. I mean, because she's starting to go. He's there. He's wearing a black hat, flat brim, tall, pushed down in the middle. It's kind of like an Old West style. But he's not an Old West guy. That's just what I'm associated with, that shape of hat. It's not a cowboy hat. It doesn't curl up. It's very flat brimmed. I want to say he's like a preacher or something, because he's very black. His outfit's very black, and he's got this hat. But he's younger. He's very tall, really broad-shouldered, very sort of strong stature. And there's nothing... I keep coming back to this preacher because I feel like he's almost nondescript in his shape, because he's wearing a black outfit and a black long coat. He's either a preacher or a highwayman.
Is there a name associated with him or a letter?
There's an R.
A message from him?
It's just like he's there for strength. He's just this pillar of strength. That's just what I get off of him. It's just like steel. He's just...
Does he have a beard?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Piercing sort of, he's got a very strong shape, sort of piercing kind of eyes. And squinty a little bit, like he's been out in the sun a lot.
When he was alive, what did he do?
He advised. He's got a book and a leather bound case with a big buckle on it, one of those old ones with one big flap in the buckle.
Is the book something technical or is it a Bible?
I can't tell whether it's a book that it's almost like he's keeping track of things and he's writing things down.
Ah, so it's like a ledger.
Hmm.
Okay.
Maybe it's a tax collector.
No! That'd be black.
But he gives off this presence. I think people are intimidated by him because he just has this presence. He's very larger than life, big.
What does he have to say to Lisa?
He's got his hand on her shoulder and he's just kind of like squeezing her shoulder like he's trying to give her his power. It's strange. I said that he lectured and advised people, but he also seems like a man of few words. Like, people listened to him when he spoke, so he didn't have to say very much. What he said when, you know, it was said, and that was it.
If he did have a name, what would it be?
I want to say Ralph or
the R name, okay. Are his hands very big?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he dark skinned? Or darker?
His whole persona to me is dark. Like, yeah, he doesn't look pale. I mean, he's in the black. He doesn't look pale in the black. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it seems like there's a little girl kind of trotting around behind him.
Is she also a guide, or is she someone that Lisa knew?
She's very comfortable with him. So I feel like she's with him a lot, because she's like giggling and kind of poking out from behind his coat, and blonde, kind of curly blonde hair, but she's wearing some sort of a hat.
Mm. So he's sort of the straight guy.
Yeah, very much. He just has this authoritarian sort of feel to him.
How'd he pass?
Something in the
abdomen. Okay.
Yeah. That was painful.
Did Lisa ever know him while he was alive?
Not in this life, but in a past life.
Okay. Okay.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, just switch on.
Okay.
Feedback.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to sound silly, but the woman that you described is the perfect description of a cartoon character that my mother and I send back and forth constantly.
She seemed like a caricature to
okay.
me. She didn't seem real, but I just couldn't. Yeah. It was strange.
Yeah, it was perfect. Which would lead in to the fellow that you were describing, because he was extremely talented, very creative, who I think was coming through was my Uncle Sam. And yes, I knew him in this lifetime, but we were very estranged. He was highly intelligent, was a English professor and a Chaucerian, very authoritative, and not a man that I ever got close to, because I didn't like the way he treated his kids.
There was this, that's what I kept trying to, I think I was doing this, but it felt like he intimidates people and he keeps them at arm's length, sort of.
Which is probably why you saw him in black, because even though they weren't colors he wore, that's how I perceived him.
Was he dark complected?
He was.
Mm-hmm. And did he have a blonde daughter or child?
I think his youngest daughter.
You might try to find out if she's alive or gone.
She's alive.
Okay. What was his name?
His name was Sam.
Oh, Sam, you said. Okay. Where did our name come from, do you think?
I don't know. I'm going to have to research that one.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Samuel Fields. And I'm not remembering anybody in the family with an R name, but...
Okay.
That R name could have been... someone that he was trying to tell you about.
Yes.
Or Ralph, maybe, or R.
Yeah. I will definitely contact Mother about that. But yeah, that described the way I felt about him. We were family, you know, the whole love thing going on, but I kept at a distance from him because of his persona.
Now it's interesting, he would show you the little blonde child running around him and hiding because he was showing you, relative to the children, that what you saw wasn't who he really was.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Definitely two different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
He did die from something in this area. I'm not sure exactly what it was. It had to do with his heart, but other things. He was in a coma for a while. You know, the arc hit him. We played classical music for him when he was in the coma, and we know he heard it. So the R could have been a favorite composer of his, because he was very into that. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's who came through, which is interesting. It's my father's brother. That's who it was. Dad comes through all the time, so it wouldn't have meant the same as this.
Now, that would also make sense, because you immediately got a step back, which would be father's level, but to the left, which was the female. But that could have been female side, okay? So father's brother would have fit right with what your first impression was.
And
I wonder if you're going to be getting...
Her walking back as strongly as she did, I mean, he was a very strong presence. And you just literally...
Yeah, he was,
strong.
I didn't get him until after, and that woman looked like a cartoon to me. I thought, this can't
be
a real...
She is a cartoon
person. I mean,
now,
just...
But let's take that a step further. That cartoon character that goes back and forth between your mom and you is readily recognizable, but is the character of that cartoon character reminiscent of your dad's mom or your uncle's mom?
No, I just think that was probably a lead-in from dad, actually, is where I think that came from, to connect me.
Or it may be, if that's your key for email, that you're going to be hearing something via email from someone in the family about that side of the family.
Yeah, could be.
Or with whoever you correspond with, that caricature, that's where the information is.
It's coming from.
Yeah. No, I'm sure.
The thing is, that character sure got chosen for a reason. It wasn't random.
Yeah.
I think the character is extremely important.
I'm glad that made sense to you, because I kept looking at her and I kept thinking, this kid, like, she was too, like... It was
too rickety
ridiculous.
And too fat.
And
it's interesting, you couldn't tell how she died. She didn't die. She's just a cartoon character.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
And of course, she's laughing at you because you're... Because
she's a joke.
Yeah.
She's a joke.
That's way cool.
And that could also be...
Uncle Sam thing, because I probably would have never gone there.
That could also be Uncle Sam. Think about the connection. Uncle Sam coming in, telling you he's aware of your mom and you and your jokes. The man who had no sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. True. Very true.
Okay.
Now also,
and I would love to have the power that he had. Like she said, he was trying to give me his strength. I would love to have that on a positive level. And maybe that's the joking. Maybe that's his positive side.
Well, maybe that's
that I never saw.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he was there for, was for you to know that he's... I mean, he came up and he was like this. And he was like squeezing
that's
on
exactly
your shoulder. Like, you know, he was trying to put his strength into you. Just,
yeah.
But, you know.
He wasn't trying to choke you.
But okay. Now that's a very powerful message that you just gave me.
Also, too, the reason I ask if he had a beard, because he looked like a Mormon or a Quaker.
Yeah,
the way
yeah,
you
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was,
he did have a beard off and on.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
And was he a Mormon or a Quaker or in that part of the country?
No.
Okay, so maybe it's just the demeanor was part of that.
Very straight-laced, very dominating, very...
It's interesting, when you looked in the book,
straight.
You saw like a ledger. You didn't see a Bible, you didn't see a, you know...
That's
you
why I asked about the book.
A priest or a religious figure, you saw him as a businessman.
You said he was a Chaucerian.
Yeah. He's a Chaucerian.
So
by
that's
the way,
high time literature.
I also felt, when you said that, it was like he was doing accounts receivable, he was keeping track of things.
Very much so.
No, Lisa, that's a message.
Okay.
what do you do, Lisa?
Okay.
You carry a ledger, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Keep track of things.
Yes, she does.
So guess who's helping you to keep track of things?
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Thanks,
that there was a message in that.
It's a new kind of Sam's Club.
When you're doing your mediumship, yes, you're getting people, you're getting identification, but they're not wasting words. Everything you get is a message.
That has a couple of meanings.
You had an aversion to his way he treated his children. So what did he do? He showed you one of them running around him and having a good time, playing hide and go seek. And he was busy being a straight man for her. Whole different look at him and his kids, isn't it?
Which is why, again, when she said, I knew him but not in this lifetime. Well, there were two different aspects of him, two different people.
What you saw wasn't, yeah.
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 Yeah,
well, the part of him that may be a guide for you may be the part that you've connected to in some other lifetime. In this lifetime, you didn't like him, and yet that's still the persona he came through with. Interesting.
Great reading.
Okay,
right.
Good reading.
Thank you.
There you go. Okay, right now we're at time, so we're going to break for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And come back
food.
And
food.
Pick up with Carl.
Oh, Lord. Closing my channel.
Alrighty. Right now, we're going to forego our last two members and doing their platform work, because in the interest of getting material covered, and if we have time at the end, we can let you guys go. Let my people go. Okay. What we need to cover now is a very, very serious subject. It's the heartbreak of psoriasis. No. Sorry, I just couldn't resist that one. All right, in all seriousness. This is called either spirit or entity attachment.
Yeah,
it is a very serious subject, especially where anyone concerned with energy work or spirit work or doing psychic work is concerned.
And it's a big part of how mediumship can be used for healing.
Mm-hmm. First off, what is an entity attachment or spirit attachment?
An unhealthy
Okay. By?
Either.
Spirits or entities. Or a live
person or the human.
Or a live person,
yeah.
Right. Okay. In the sense, you've all heard the statement that birds of a feather flock together. Well, if you're going to be a person that is going to be depressed or angry or some kind of quote-unquote negative emotion most of the time, the kind of people you're going to end up associating with are going to be the same kinds of people, because no one else is going to want to associate with you. And the people you're going to draw are people that act and behave and do the same kinds of things that you do. The difficulty with this is that a person who is depressed has all this reinforcement to stay depressed. From who? From the people and the entities they're in the situation with. For example, let's take a very simple subject. If I'm a person who is depressed about politics, and I'm not going to go into details, thank God, But if I'm real depressed about it and I'm always chattering about politics, what kind of people am I going to attract? Other people who are depressed, who have anger issues about politics. So whatever I'm going to focus on that may be in any way debilitating, negative, or whatnot, I'm going to attract people, spirits, entities that have an affinity or have a like vibration to what it is I'm projecting. Now, mind you, I did not say who I am. Okay, it's the same thing as saying you don't scold a child and say, you're a bad boy. You say you've done a bad thing. You don't make reference to the person. The person is an awareness. It's the behavior that we're looking at. And it's the behavior that attracts other people and entities that exhibit the same kinds of behavior. So if you're a depressed person, you're going to attract entities from the other side, people that are depressed, because there's a common vibration. If you're going to be somebody who's up, positive, always full of energy, you're always focused, who are you going to attract? Same kind of people, right? The up, positive, focused kind of people. When you do readings, especially mediumship readings, for a person who is perhaps depressed about the loss of a loved person, that person is going to bring spirits with them that have the same kind of emotional or spiritual or mental demeanor as they do. And these kinds of people feed off each other in terms of energy. You get in an argument. If you're a politically oriented person and you're arguing about politics or sports, so you know the people that jump up and down and get loud and are argumentative, what do they attract? They attract the exact opposite. But the other person also has the same issues concerning the sports, the politics, etc. Well, if you're going to do the same thing with depression and be woe is me about who I've lost, then you're going to attract all kinds of entities that are going to promise you things that will hopefully get you back to the person you lost, back to the situation you lost. It's a thing that's directly connected to ego that will drain your energy in order by promising you or offering you something that is unrealistic. Okay, am I making sense? Okay. Now,
there's I think another way that attachment can occur.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, when we're talking about attachment, we aren't talking about a bond of caring that just attracts a deceased person to give a message to somebody they love.
Talking about a parasite.
Right. We're talking about sometimes a symbiotic connection, living to dead, dead to living, where one almost becomes the other and there's no difference. And that can be very dangerous for obvious reasons. But be aware that many times those attachments have the beginning in life. Supposing I'm a daughter who does everything mom says.
And shakes in her boots every time mom says or trembles or shouts something.
Exactly. Perhaps I have this fear issue going on with my parent. Or maybe there are mutual control issues. I'm getting over on her, she's getting over on me. We control one another. We can't go apart. I'm always wondering, you know, hey, gee, does mom like this dress? Doesn't she like this dress? I'm sure you know people like this. Well, the parent dies. Before long, the child that's left behind is wearing mom's clothes or acting like mom or changing the hairdo. They literally begin to take on the characteristics of the person who died.
And mom is probably doing it from the other side. Not only because this is mom's persona and how she operates, but the daughter is still holding on to the behavior, hence the link to mom.
I.e. the control that was exhibited in this world can continue between worlds. Okay? That can go a step further to health issues.
Mm-hmm. She was talking the other day about her hip, and every time mom came to mind or thought about her, she got an ache in the hip. Well, now as a medium, what's going to happen? She's going to get the ache in the hip as the indicator that it's mom that's coming through. However, if she and mom have a symbiotic relationship or a parasitic relationship that's unhealthy, that means that attraction for mom and keeping mom here will apply that hip issue to her, and she'll keep it and then assume that it's hers.
We had one student in a previous class who had a grandfather who had a bum knee. Every male in the entire family.
Four generations.
Had the same problem with the same knee. Okay? Had the same emotional patterns, the same problems they were working out in life. You talk about a forceful attachment coming down through generations. Okay?
How does this attachment occur? If somebody dies and you can't bear the thought of their leaving, or you can't handle your life and you want to deny that they're gone, you're going to keep hold of them. Your emotional demeanor is going to be such that you're going to act as if they're still there, and your behavior is going to reflect that. That's one is going to keep you trapped and prevent you from grieving and letting go and moving on and growing. It's also going to prevent the soul, the other person that you've lost, from moving on in growth on the other side, which is something else we'll get into a little bit later called soul retrieval, which is to help the soul that's been connected to an attachment issue, whether it's a person or a situation.
So the most, you're going to find attachments very commonly. There's a fine line. When someone first dies, it's a normal human reaction to want to maintain the connection to that person we've lost. We all reach out, we all want to hold on. At this point, the medium can be a tremendous help to the living person by explaining the things John is explaining. You know, pray for the person, wish them well, let them go, they've got their own life to live on the other side. This is one of your functions as a medium. We have a period of time we're going to go through in grieving where we're holding on.
Generally, it's a year.
Okay? Once we get past that point, if you still find yourself holding on, you should be asking yourself, is there an attachment here? Or asking your client, or looking at the, remember I showed you yesterday, those cords leading out from yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the client that way. Does this client have any attachments that are going off into spirit? Okay? Because it could very well be that it's no longer just the bond of, I lost you, I'm bereaved. It's now the bond of, we're mutually trying to control or feed back and forth over each other's energy for whatever reason. And that's a danger. Now, there's another form of attachment that can occur. And that, you don't even need to know the person. Supposing you're somebody who develops an addictive pattern, like alcoholism, and you frequent bars often. You don't think that when alcoholics die, they don't hang out around bars?
They're still alcoholic.
Hoping they're going to find somebody who's always wide open that they can taste that drink through?
Or taste heroin through, or whatever, food addiction, whatever it may be.
So there may be times when you find a client that you're reading who has an attachment to someone they've never known. Someone they literally picked up in a bar. And they may be wondering how come they're tired all the time, how come their normal desire to have a drink one, you know, each afternoon after lunch has turned into wanting to be drunk all the time.
How would you like to walk around all day carrying somebody on your back and feed them?
Yeah.
This is basically what an attachment is.
Mm-hmm. Because the entity that you might, quote unquote, pick up in a bar that has an alcoholism problem is going to force you to want to drink for them.
In the same way that we tell you that if you're in a struggle with somebody, choose your battles. Hence, when you resist, oppose resistance against a person or a group or whatever, by your sending out resistance, you attract the opposite and equal resistance to what you're doing. Well, if you're going to have some kind of an issue with grieving or whatever, say depression, you are going to attract the opposite and equal kind of person or entity with the same kind of an issue. What are the issues that attract this? I have listed here so far, and I'm sure there are many more: depression, greed, illness, grief, ego, worry, fear, and retention. And what are all those characteristics? What do they all have as their, let's just say, common root? They're all a vision of self in some way lacking, which means it's a diminished sense of self, a diminished sense of ego. So if you are a person who finds yourself always lacking or feeling that you're not what you're supposed to be, or you can't be what you want to be, can't have what you want, any sense of feeling of lack, as you project that into the world, you're going to attract people that are going to want to promise that to you in return for something a lot more than you're willing to give.
Now here we go into something that's even more intense of an attachment. As a medium, if you're doing your mediumship reading and you want to do this great, wonderful reading, and a spirit comes along and says, hey, let me in, and I can make sure that every reading you do is wonderful, boy, have you got an attachment. That can become something that literally just drains off your energy and through you drains off your client's energies.
This has been fueled by your ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the extreme, that kind of attachment in someone who's mediumistic can actually become a possession, i.e. where the spirit gradually takes over more and more and more of the persona, and before long you're just
you're out of the way.
Like them, being like them, duplicating them, having their illnesses, thinking their thoughts, and your own personality gets pushed into a little corner of your own mind or cast out totally.
Think of, this is a mild example, but how many people do you know in your environment that when you talk with them, all they do is talk about their illnesses?
Many.
Many. Well, these people are the people that are eliciting your quote-unquote pity.
Mm-hmm.
And in an attempt in doing this, they will somehow make you feel guilty,
mm-hmm.
or make you feel that you should be guilty for what it is they're going through. And then feel responsible for them,
mm-hmm.
creating the link, and now you're doing something for them because there's a lack or something in you that is not strong enough to look at them and say, hey, you put yourself in that situation, I'm not responsible for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Question.
How about when someone is always telling you negative things of this around, you know, whatever they see around or about, you know, yourself, you know, they see that, hey, oh, but you know, you didn't clean yourself very well here.
Okay, now what kind of...
your grass is not looking very good today.
Good point.
They cut it well, but you know, look, they didn't do that.
Now what kind of reaction is that going to elicit in you if you're the person that cut the grass?
Oh, right away, you know, you only react, no, but it's nice, look, you see?
So you're getting emotional about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're raising your energy. You're creating a defense and a resistance that is now able to be resisted
mm-hmm.
by the other person, and they absorb the energy.
Which is feeding on that energy, correct?
Yes. So any these are the same people that some people, they sit there and whine about their illnesses to get you to give to them. There are other people that get in your face and aggravate you and push you over the line to make you explode, and then you give them your energy that way. Same thing with an entity on the other side. Any egotistical issue, any issue that in any way you feel you're lacking or should be more than you are, and you're susceptible to the pats on the back or what people offer you, you're a prime meat for whatever is on the other side wanting to sell you something.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
good,
thank you.
Welcome.
But through our mediumship and through what we're going through, we do pat ourselves a lot on the back.
That's fine.
Okay.
But the point is, we're not trying to gain anything other than give each other encouragement, because we're all looking at each other saying, we're working at it, we're doing a good job.
Yeah, because we do talk about it and we think, okay, now I'm not being, you know, getting ego here, but wasn't that good, you know?
And
there's
nothing wrong
okay.
with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you start kind of twisting it, it says, well, yours was good, but mine was a little better. Now you get this edging. And this edging becomes defensiveness, one-upsmanship, and now you get into the ego battles.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with encouragement. Tell somebody you love them and you really mean you love them. You're not doing it to get something. You're expressing something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're telling somebody,
yes.
you, hey, I really like the way you clean floors. Hint, hint. You know what I'm saying? There's a different reason. Some people, some entities, they give you something or tell you something because they're expecting to get something in return. And usually, the way to do that is either through guilt or fear,
making you feel like you're responsible, or from badgering you to the point where you explode and it comes out anyway.
So you have two different kinds of attachment that could be happening here that you have to be aware of as a medium. The more common one is going to be the attachment where you're reading a client and the client comes in and their husband's been passed now for the last 10 years and they still can only talk about and think about him, prepare only the foods that he wants to eat, and they're still living as if they're married to him. And now you know that this is far beyond a bond of caring. There is an attachment, a symbiotic relationship going on here that's preventing the wife from moving on and preventing the husband from being able to accomplish whatever he needs to accomplish in the afterlife. Now, there are things you can do as a medium that are going to help to resolve that situation. John and I will talk to you about that in a few minutes. The second kind of an attachment that you need to be aware of with your client is usually the client, through their fear or their pain or their health issue, all these things John described before, attracting something to them that they may not even be aware of, that has allowed a spirit on the other side who's got an addictive pattern or a despondency issue hook in and drain their energy. So those are two kinds of attachments that your clients could have. And as a medium, in the course of reading them, you may very often become aware that that attachment is there. You yourself as a medium have to be careful of the attachments that can develop through your own ego. And that could either be by being overblown or by being diminished, mm-hmm. either extreme.
Either way you feel there's a lack.
Exactly. But anytime you feel yourself asking for, oh my God, help me to get this answer, you're putting yourself at risk. Your higher self and your guides are going to help you to get the answer. You don't have to go begging something else out there. Okay?
You can get and do everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need somebody else or another entity to do it
right.
for you. They may provide you a shortcut,
mm-hmm.
but if you're a person who generally is not willing to put the work in, you deserve what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same as we talked before, that these are the psychics whose lifespan is very, very short.
If yes.
Well, actually,
shorter.
Not quite. Okay? I'll address that in a moment.
Okay.
Hold on to that thought. Okay? An attachment isn't going to shorten your lifespan.
Actually, it will.
It could if you're giving all your energy to
because
it.
Because it's like your spiritual immune system is getting diminished in bits and pieces.
Yeah, but it might not always do that. Supposing it's an attachment from somebody who just likes to tell me what to do but isn't taking my energy. You know,
no.
Then it could just last forever.
But if they're telling you what to do, then in some sense they are getting your energy. They are getting a payoff.
Well, I'd be
because
giving
you're
my
paying
power away.
You're paying attention to them.
Okay. At any rate, the attachments you have to be concerned with as a medium really have to do with either your ego getting in the way and you're reaching and allowing something to attach to you that you think is going to help you and make life easier, or you're opening to the client through either empathy or compassion, and the entity that's attached to them likes you better. You've got more energy, so you end up walking out of the room with it attached to you instead.